Since we're talking about positive thinking and we're talking about like speaking positively, I remember when we were first like discovering the law of attraction or the secret so many years ago. How do you feel like that's had an effect in your life? Do you feel like that's real?
I do. I think that basically kind of like manifestation. I just remember like my background, when I think back, like my background, where I came from, all my siblings and stuff like that. We were, you know, we were raised in a very poor neighborhood. My dad was just a working guy. My mom stayed at home with us. But, and then of course I got married very young, to a loser. And, it really, I just, something inside of me is like, I don't want this anymore. And I just remember having like $40 or something spent on groceries for four of us. And then I just remember saying, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to struggle and I'm not going to do this anymore. Which, of course, I mean, we still have normal struggles, but it was just really kind of like in the poverty line. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I just kept speaking that, and any little like avenue I could go down to think of like a different kind of job or what I could do, because I did get married so young, so I didn't get to get a college education. And just basically always striving for more and thinking I want more for my kids. And I remember I worked in a really rich area, and I would drive through there and I'd see the kids on the playground. And I remember crying one day thinking, you know, I want that for my kids. I want my kids to be in a better school district. I want them to be, you know, have a better life, because at that time they were in a really bad school district. And it's weird how it just kind of happened. And in the end, it did end up happening. But I think it had a lot to do with mindset and just always speaking that and not wanting to give in to, because there were so many people around me that were doing drugs and just not doing the right thing, or just falling into that trap of like being on government assistance or, you know, things like that forever. Which, if you need that, I'm fine with people being on that if they need, you know, if you need help, single parents and stuff. I just think it's something that sometimes people get into and they use it their whole life. And it's a cycle. Their children end up being that way. And I just feel like, for me, I mean, I don't know, I might have went off on that a little. But for me, I just feel like always striving and thinking in my mind that, you know, I'm not going to settle for this. And I want more out of life. And just dreaming bigger. And I think even now, I'm kind of like tapped. I feel like, wait a minute, why am I settling for this? You know, I mean, yes, we're just like normal middle class now, but it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, why can't I have even more than that? Why can't we be above that? You know, there's not a reason. It's just kind of like you cap yourself at something. And I realized I've done that to myself. I thought, oh, okay, I've made it. I'm in a nice middle class home, and you know, my kids are in good schools. But it's like, wait a minute, you know, now I've started thinking more of like, you know, there's so many people, there's so much out there in this world, like that is at our fingertips and we could have. I just think it's like we cap ourselves and we don't pursue it, or we don't really think it's possible for us. But it is, it's possible for anyone, even anyone listening. It's possible to have whatever you want if you don't give up.
Yes, I think that's all you have to do. I remember seeing The Secret, like the documentary. I remember seeing it for the first time, and it was really eye-opening to me. And I think in some way, I had always kind of used that or had that mindset a little bit to kind of get out of not-so-great situations in my younger life. And I didn't know what it was, and I didn't have a name for it, or I did not know what the law of attraction was, or I didn't understand it. But as soon as I really like had seen that film and just started to do more research on it, and it's really hard to stick to it.
It's hard to stick to it. It's very hard.
And you will manifest amazing things that you would not otherwise be able to manifest. I manifested opportunities. I did manifest jobs. I manifested homes. I manifested amazing things that fell into my lap when I didn't have hardly any money. My husband and I didn't have hardly any money, very little hope of moving out. Absolutely manifested job opportunities for us both once I got into it, and absolutely manifested like a home that I don't think we would have been able to afford, but it happened to be a foreclosure. And for some reason, nobody grabbed it and it was right there and we were able to get it and it all worked out perfectly. So I just think there are so many things that I can go back into my life, and I realize the home that I live in now. I mean, again, we're talking about capping ourselves though. And I think that that happens.
It does.
Because it's like, I thought, okay, if I could just have like a middle class, like in a nice neighborhood, and I wanted like certain little things like the white kitchen or the quartz counters or what, these small kinds of little things that I thought of, you know, as being younger, I thought of as, wow, that would be so amazing.
Yeah, like, oh, if I had that, I'm rich.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just like, we put a cap on it though. We put a cap on it. And I thought, oh, if I could take a vacation here and there, but is that really what my heart wants completely? Like, is that, and does Jesus ever say that you can't have what you want in this life?
No.
And it's not even really about the money. It's about what you would do with it. Yes. I would love to see the beauty that is God's world.
Yes.
I would love to travel and see much.
Me too.
And I don't want to feel like I'm unable to. I don't want to feel like I'm not able to live my life to the fullest. I don't want to feel like, you know, we're still sort of like slaves to the system.
Yes.
And so I really want to further our manifesting, and we've been talking about this, and I want us to start really using some prayer, some meditation,
prayers,
and getting back on board. And I did make myself a vision board.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
Vision boards are great. If you can make one, do it.
Yes.
It's the best thing ever just to look at it, because it's hard to forget what you're manifesting sometimes. I mean, it's easy to forget, because you're just kind of like, you get in your day-to-day routine. But if you have something in front of your face every day looking at it, it's like, okay, yes, there it is.
Yeah. And you also have to kind of commit to what you actually want. And I think that sometimes that's harder than the actual manifestation is. And it's super easy. I mean, how I made my vision board was, I just got a bulletin board with some push pins, and I went on to Amazon and I uploaded some photos of things I wanted and had them printed out and delivered to me. So it was super simple. But when I got all the photos, of course, they couldn't all fit on the board. So it was like really sort of looking at the pictures and what resonated. What do I actually want?
Yes.
That part seemed harder to me. And once I got it together, I have been trying to look at it. And I mean, we want to try some new techniques, because we want to try harder to manifest.
Yes.
We want to kind of go through a journey this year of trying to get ourselves to that kind of higher level of what we believe in. We believe in the law of attraction.
Yes, I do.
We believe in those things. So it's like, let's get on that vibration and do what we need to do to make the things that we want to happen, happen.
I agree. And I think a lot of to do is like gratitude also. Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting more out of life, and like say going on vacations, and just because our life is short. You're not promised tomorrow. And I think that it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't want people thinking that there is. It's just also be grateful for what you do have, because there is a scripture in the Bible where God says, like, I'm not going to give you more unless you're grateful for what you already have. It's something like that, to those words. But it's kind of like, just be grateful also for what you have, and then just be thankful. And then I think you will bring, that will also be another factor into it, like you're manifesting these things, but you're also grateful for what you already have. I think you'll have more come in, and
like attracts like.
Yes. And I think I've told you the story about how I just, you know, going to work, it's just it's an hour drive, it's horrible traffic, and I'm just like, and I can't stand it every day. And it was just driving me so crazy. I hated it. I just dreaded it because the drive was so bad. But then I was watching a show, The Amazing Race. They're in India. And it's like their transportation over there is horrible. I mean, maybe some have cars, but it's mainly like trains, or they're on these buses and they're all in there and they're all packed in there and they're just basically holding their arms up to
Yeah.
hold up to a strap, and it's just packed like cattle. And I mean, of course, they have taxis and stuff. That's not the ordinary person of that live there taking those. But I was, after watching that, I was like, okay, I'll never complain about driving in my own little car by myself, listening to the radio in AC all again. Like, it's kind of like, and I've caught myself the last few weeks, like I'm driving home and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, no, wait a minute. I could be a lot worse. I could be in India in this train on this bus.
It's the little things.
So,
It's us just noticing and being grateful for the little things. That's where it starts.
yes, it's just the tiny things too that you just take for granted so much. Just running water, even if you have that. It's just like, just stuff like that. I mean, it's warm water, anything. I mean, really, we are most of America. I mean, we are pretty blessed. I mean, I think we're a blessed country. I think we're founded on God, and I think that's where, you know, we are, it comes from. I think that's why we've had so many blessings. But there's just so much opportunity out there, and I just feel like people can manifest it, make it better. But just be grateful for whatever you have. There's someone else that doesn't have that, or someone else that has it worse.
And even when we're looking at situations where it does feel like the government is crazy or being controlled by corporations,
Yes,
or
true.
everything's being controlled by these sort of money hungry beings that are just
Very
really
true.
sucking up everybody's energy. You have to stop and you have to say, how are they getting this? And how are they able to do these things that we see as being unethical? And you have to ask yourself, what is it? What tactics are they using? Is it possible that there is a purposeful manipulation and lowering of other people's vibrations?
Oh, yeah.
And are they purposely pumping every single solitary media platform with negative thoughts, negative images? And if they can keep you on this lower negative vibration, you can't ever move up and you can't ever really kind of get to that higher level.
It's true.
And what we have to realize is some people will say, what can I do about it? But Jesus tells us what we can do about it. We really can have an abundant life. He came to give us that. He came to show us our power. He came to fill us with his power. He came to show us that we can heal. We
We
can
can.
banish demons. We can be bold. We can stand up to the people that are trying to control
That's
the
right.
narrative. We can and we should.
That's right.
And the people after him that learned the lessons from him, his followers went forth and they spread the good
Yes,
news.
they did.
So we have to really remember when we're feeling down and we're feeling stuck and we're feeling like, okay, what can I do? There's no way out. There's always a way out.
There
There's
is.
always a way where you can really just stick, cling to it, stick to that faith, and you can move mountains. And I was talking to my son who he has pro you know he's skeptical of things. And he said, well, mom, you always say move mountains, but I don't see anybody moving any mountains. I was like, I'm pretty sure if they wanted to move a mountain at this point, they could. I think some technology's been invented where they probably could do some different things. But you have to remember that our vision is there. Is anybody ever, if you haven't seen the heavens yourself, are you able to manifest enough faith to move the mountain? Like, aren't your own eyes in there? You're looking, do you really believe? I mean, I know if I'm trying to move a mountain, it's my body. My mind is standing in the way. My
That's
eyes are
so
standing.
true.
And it doesn't matter how much, yes, I believe in Jesus, but do I believe I can move the mountain?
Yeah.
My eyes are going to hold me back. My senses, my body is going to
Yes.
hold me back. So it's really not a great comparison. But if we can start to believe and get ourselves on the vibration of those small things, maybe you don't feel like you can move mountains. That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you do feel like you can move yourself into a better position
Yes.
at your job. Or maybe
Mm-hmm.
you do feel like you can move yourself into a better relationship if you're having a horrible relationship that's no good for you. Or maybe you do feel like you can move yourself just into a better headspace.
Yes.
Or a better life in any regard. So those things are not so difficult to imagine.
No. I think that's the thing. It's like, it's a lot about who you surround yourself with. Totally. I mean, I believe that too. I have to, it's funny because at my job, that was kind of brought up because my boss was saying the lady that was there before me, she was just, we were talking one day and she's like, yeah, we're so happy you're here with us now, you know, and they have several maids that work for them. And, I do personal assistant work and I help her around the house and stuff. And she was saying that the lady before me, you know, they had to fire her and stuff, had issues. But she said, she was talking to her husband the other day and she said, since you started working here, she said, we've noticed, she said, the whole household, the whole atmosphere has changed. She said, there's a calmness, there's a peace. Everybody's happy. The maids are happy.
That's so amazing.
The handyman is happy. Like, it's just a very, we're all working together. We're all very just, we work well together. And it's just a very calming place. And I think what the problem was, the lady that was there before me, she thought of herself as higher than them and the maids. And so she would be bossy or she would just yell and scream to get things done that, you know, her boss would want done.
Yeah.
And I don't do that. I treat them as equals and I just say, hey, you know, hey, we needed to get this done and this done today.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this and just kind of like basically making sure, you know, everything's done, but just in a very loving way. And you know, you really, when you work with people, you don't have to be just some bulldog. I mean, all the time. I mean, like, I guess there's certain situations where you do, but I mean, it just made me think of that when we're talking about the atmosphere, because anywhere you're at, the atmosphere matters. The attitude matters.
Yes.
Your attitude matters. I mean, even that's with children in class. If they have a teacher with a bad attitude, it's not going to go well.
You can't bring negativity around with you and carry it on your shoulders and expect that other people won't feel it and notice
it. No, that's the... Yes.
You have to walk in with that positive spirit. Yeah.
Exactly. But, and I think that's what people don't realize. Like, don't give your control, don't give your power to someone else. If someone else is in a bad mood, then you just, that doesn't mean you have to be in a bad mood. You just bring your good energy or remove yourself from the area, but just always stay positive and bring that energy and you will attract other people. They'll be attracted to you and things will happen.
Yes. And you may drive the negative people very, very crazy.
That's not
true. They can't handle it. But you know, that's better than you getting on that lower level.
Oh yeah.
That's so much better because if they win, and they bring you down to their level, then that's victorious for them. When you're, by the time you're just losing it and you've lost your cool and you're starting to have a negative attitude also, and you're huffing and puffing and you can feel it. Even when they leave, it'll still linger.
Yeah.
It's, they won. You let negative win. And that's the worst thing that you can really do for yourself and for others.
Yep.
You want to keep your vibration high. You want to picture your vibration or your light inside of yourself. Picture it and picture it actually being sort of encased and protected. I've heard that that's like a really good meditation To think of yourself as having that light within. And when you're slowing down and you're having like a meditation for just a couple of minutes, you want to picture your light just being encased and it's protected and it's guarded. And it's so important because so many people identify as empaths. And then so many people identify now, I've heard like clairsentience. Have you heard of that before? So it's basically like, you know how the people talk about being clairvoyant or whatnot. Yes. People will say that they're clairsentient, which is kind of more like when you enter a room, other people are going to notice your vibes and you're going to notice other people's vibes. And you're going to kind of, you're going to feel them coming at you. So you don't always like to be in a crowded room. It leads to social anxiety and stuff when you have that kind of gift.
I definitely have social anxiety.
And you can pick up other people's vibes.
Yeah, pretty much I can.
Yeah. And so for people that are having those kinds of feelings and they're, you know, they're very prone to like feeling other people's feelings, the best meditation for you is typically spending a couple of minutes just imagining your light and feeling your own vibration and then just imagining it being protected because it does need to be protected.
Yes, I'll have to remember that because it, I mean, like I said, I do try to be positive, but I mean, there's times I lose it. I mean, you know, when I have kids.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, every day here.
I mean, I do lose it sometimes, but it's kind of like, I do, and then I feel horrible.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I'm like, I don't know. It's a struggle. It's just, I mean, but we're all struggling. I mean, there's no one, if someone said they're not struggling, that's so false. Like, I wouldn't believe them. Everyone struggles in some sense.
Yeah.
And I think that is just, it's good to talk about it. It's good to have that person just to, you know, release. Like I said, we were talking about earlier, about just have a person that's going to have your back where they're positive.
Yeah.
Not a negative Nancy, not someone just to always, you know, you dump your stuff on and then they turn it. Yeah, it's horrible. How can they do that to you? And, you know, you need someone to bring out the good.
Yes. And to help you to be grateful or to kind of bring it all around. No, this is going to go good. This is going to go well. And that's so important. I think everybody needs that. And if you don't have that, the best thing to do is to begin to give that to yourself.
I agree.
And then you can begin and then you can begin to attract someone else into your life to help you with
it. Yes, because you will attract, like I said, it's the law of attraction.
Yes, like and attracts just like.
Loving yourself and, you know, yes, getting into the word, like just getting into God's word. And that was for me pretty much just because, like, we were talking about growing up Jehovah's Witness, it was very condemning. And, I had very, very low self-esteem as a child and even a teenager. And I think that's why, well, I got married so young because that's just kind of what the witnesses did back then. But it was just kind of like the first person that came along that gave me any attention. So it's kind of like when you have that low self-esteem and then especially as a child when you grow, it doesn't just go away. You have to find ways of building yourself up. And I remember, I mean, I still struggle with it. It was horrible, horrible in my 20s and stuff like that. And then as I started to talk about the manifestation, getting out and wanting more out of life and doing more and just chipping away, chip by chip. It was not an overnight thing. It was chipping away. That's when my confidence started to grow. Like, okay, I can do this or I can do that. And then that is when you start to attract likewise people that are motivated.
Yeah.
And, that want better things in life. And that's kind of how, what attracted it to me to my now husband is just because we work together and I just saw his work ethic and I was like, oh, this is a guy that works hard. Like I work hard, but he works hard.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, that is something like you just, you're drawn to that, what you like or what you want to be. So it's kind of like, figure out who you are.
Yes.
Chip away at it. Love yourself because God loves you.
Yeah.
He did. God loves us all. And then you will attract exactly what God or who exactly God wants in your life.
Yes. And you'll never, ever attract someone else that's just going to love you, love you, love you, love you, love you when you don't love yourself.
So true.
You're not going to find.
You have to have confidence. You have to have confidence.
You have to feel, and it's not in a bad or. Sometimes it's like confidence has become so equated with being conceited.
No.
Or being like, you know.
Well, so, no, that, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
I still suffer with self-esteem with like physical, you know, like appearance stuff.
Well, no, yeah.
It's deep in there, I think.
Of course. And that's a lot, again, even stepping away from certain types of like social media, I know that that's been so helpful for me because I know
yes,
that like.
I agree.
It used to drive me crazy, my looks, and I used to just have this, we've talked about it, but I had this giant list of all the things I wanted to do to myself to, like, make myself look like Michael Jackson or whatever. I didn't like anything about myself. But
if I had money back in the day, I would look like Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Because that's, yes, it's what I.
Absolutely.
Thank God I didn't.
God protected us there. God protected us. We'd be looking at Michael and LaToya right now.
Cat lady.
Yes. It would be crazy. But, I mean, I just realized that a lot of that, and I know everybody says it and it's talked about, but a lot of it is social media.
I know.
And it is movies. And it is the things that we see on TV because we're seeing the people that were literally, there's 8 billion people in the world. We're seeing the top, like, 1% most beautiful.
Nonstop.
Yes. That's all on that our we ever see.
Turning on the TV.
Yes. And then if people complain about it and they try to put out some more plain-looking people, then you have all these people, you know, just complaining and going, hey, you can't do away with beauty standards. Beauty standards are so important, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but then you have the one that they're like the most beautiful, and then people are on there ragging on them.
Yes.
It's like you can't really win. Like,
you can't
win. If you're beautiful, they're going to talk crap about you. If you're ugly, they're going to talk crap
yes.
about you. If you're skinny, if you're fat, they don't care.
They don't care. They're going to say something no matter what. So you just, that's why.
That's negativity, though. That's
just
negativity at its finest.
Exactly. That's why you're going to have to love yourself the way.
Yes.
The where way you are.
Yes. Exactly.
Whatever path you're on, whether you're trying to lose weight or gain weight, or you don't care about your weight thing, you know, whatever is going on, or whether you just want to be healthy, or you just want to do this, or whatever you feel or think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you think you have a giant schnauzer like I do, or like whatever it is, whatever it is, you have to start to love yourself where you're at.
Exactly.
And I just, for me, stepping away from so much of the imagery that I used to just, I mean, we came from the very toxic 2000s and 90s where it was like you weren't thin enough unless you were like just so skinny. I remember people saying that. When Britney Spears got up and did her little dance.
Oh, my gosh.
They were saying she was fat. Jessica Simpson in her mom jeans at the chili cook-off. They tore her to pieces.
It's terrible. And people are mean. I tell you, they got some.
It was just such. And you look at it now, and it's like, okay, these were, I'm talking iconically beautiful, gorgeous
yes.
women. And they had absolutely amazing figures, but we were just sold this idea of absolute crazy perfection. It was supposed to be like that. We needed to be like that. And I really, really hope that that's beginning to kind of, and I think it is, I think it's beginning to kind of go away a little bit. At least people say that,
mm-hmm.
but then you look at the filters and this and that, and it's just like, you never really see what people really look like. If you never really see what people look like, you won't even know.
Yeah.
So it's like when you look in the mirror, you look so different than when you did with a filter and when all these other girls did with filters. And it's very sad to me.
I feel sad for the girls growing up today. I feel It breaks my heart. Like, my girls are older now. I mean, they're all in their 20s, but still, like, even the young girls and the boys too. I mean, because
Yes.
my son, he's only 12, but it's kind of like these standards. Like, I feel so sorry for the girls growing up today and have to look at that and think, because there's no such thing as perfect.
No.
You're always going to have something or some flaws. And it's just sad that they have to grow up with that. 'Cause I mean, I know I grew up with low self-esteem, and that was even before all that. That was just, I think, the environment I was in. And like I said, it was in a, I was poorer, so, you didn't always have the nicer things. And it's just, I think nowadays it's too much. They're just bombarded with stuff that's bringing down their self-esteem, and boys too. And I hate that boys are seeing these images where, I don't want my son to think girls are supposed to be perfect. I want him to love his wife. I want him to get married and love her the way she is when she has children and gets stretch marks, or she might have them before she has kids. But, and she's not the same if she's tiny or big or whatever. And he needs to love her for the person, the soul that she is. Like, I worry about that because I don't want him to have that fantasy in his mind of this is how what women should look like.
It's because it's such an inaccurate depiction, and nobody can really live up. You can't live up to AI generated filters,
No.
and you can't live up to the 1% that are plucked out of the population as being the most beautiful and thrown in front of your face on the cameras.
True.
And you can't live up to the women that they pick and they just do all this kind of stuff to, and they put them in front of the camera and they make them Instagram stars or OnlyFans stars or pornography stars, and you don't want to live up to that either. It's
No.
not the standard to set for yourself.
It's not
So
healthy.
yeah, again, it's just wherever you're at in your life, it's just the greatest place that you can start is to accept that God loves you. That's a good place to start. And then love yourself, feel that love, and things will begin to go from there. And if you
They
start to be
will.
grateful, if there's just one thing you like about yourself, then that's what you focus on.
Yes, exactly.
If you hate everything else, but you like your lips, then you lean into that. You go, oh, okay, I've got this thing. I'm grateful for this. If you hate everything about your body, but you love your butt, go with it. Go with it. Hate everything else, but you like your feet, roll with it. Whatever it is that you can find, no matter how long you got to search for it, you
Yeah,
find
you find
something.
something.
You
You just
find
have to be
something.
thankful. Hey, you're breathing. If you're taking
Yes,
another breath, you're
yes.
alive. That's that. It doesn't matter.
If your mind is working.
And not even just the looks like you might just have an awesome personality. People like to be around you. There you
Yes.
go. I mean, it's like you just have a great personality. People are attracted to you in that way.
Yes.
So just all kinds of things. Or like going back to the thing, you might have a great work ethic, and people just
Yeah.
love the way you do certain things, or the way you
Creative.
talk, or
Yeah.
whatever. God gives gifts to all, not all the same gifts. It's just about finding those gifts and thinking, what are my gifts, or you just have to lean into what it is and think about it and just pray about it. And just really, really, like you said, just really start with loving yourself, and it will grow and manifest into good things.
Yes, whether you have to write it out, whether you have to make a vision board, whether you spend a few minutes meditating on it, whether you're using affirmations every time you can think of it, every time you can remember it, maybe you're taking a post-it note and you're sticking it here and there on your mirror so you remember to use those affirmations. Whatever vision that you have for your life, you can make it happen.
Yes, you can. It's so true. You can. It works for everybody.
It does. It really does. And even though we are, again, we're so bombarded by people telling us that it doesn't work, we're slaves. We're slaves. And hey, I don't disagree completely. Like, I do think that these really powerful, really wealthy people, I see that they're at the top. I see that they know the secrets. I see that they're doing these things and that they know how to do them. But we cannot let that get to us and tell us that we don't have those same powers.
That's right.
God has more power than what the devil ever did.
Yes.
And so we just have to remember that whatever you're in, whatever situation you're in, you can get out of it. But first you have to cut off that negative stuff.
Yes.
Cut it off. Cut it out. Pluck it out. If it's your eye that causes you to sin, pull it out. If it's your hand that causes you to sin, cut it off. Not literally, but just whatever it is. If your eye's looking at something and it's causing you to feel distressed and to lack faith in yourself and the faith in God, remove that from your image.
Yes,
remove
exactly.
It. If there's something in your hand, something that you're doing, touching, messing with, whatever, that's preventing you from believing in yourself and believing in the Word and having that faith, remove it. Mm-hmm. Take it out of the hand.
I agree.
So, and it's hard. I know it's hard. I mean, there are a lot of people that struggle with, you know, whether it's drug addiction or mental health problems like depression, anxiety. We've both been through anxiety and continue to fight anxiety.
Yes.
So it's not like it's as simple as just one and done.
No, it's a problem. I mean, it's something you do deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that we're not disregarding any of that. There are people that struggle with depression and mental illness and stuff like that. It's just a lot to do with, like you said, the mindset and what you surround yourself with, too.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there are people with, you know, chemical imbalances and things like that. And of course, they should get help wherever that's needed.
Yeah. And you have to kind of push yourself sometimes and be open-minded.
Yes,
try new things.
Yes.
If you can be open-minded, whatever it is, whether it's you taking a class in transcendental meditation, or hey, maybe you're going to sign up and you're going to try the ketamine therapy that everybody's talking about. Or, you know, you want to just get into some serious therapy or whatever it is, hypnosis. I mean, there are people that these things have been successful for.
It's true.
So just one, don't just do like a one and done, on to the next.
And don't give up.
Don't give up. If this didn't work, go to the next one.
Yes.
And be open-minded and be open to the idea that there's a lot out there, a lot of resources.
And like you were saying that we have power, we do have power, and we do get that power from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will fight you. Especially when you're making progress, he's going to fight you. But the main thing is recognizing it immediately. Recognizing that he is attacking you. We are always in spiritual battles. Mm-hmm. Recognize it and stop it.
Rebuke.
Say no. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going there. Like, you start speaking more positive than ever. You push through it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the scripture, it says, you know, that basically, like, God, the devil does have power, but we have power and authority.
Yeah,
that's the thing. We have the authority and power.
Absolutely.
So you just have to keep pushing through that, and he will leave you alone.
Absolutely will.
Once he knows you're not going to fold and keep falling back into the same routine, and he will keep trying.
Yes.
I get attacked all the time.
Yeah.
But it's just this morning.
That's how you know that you have something he wants.
Yes.
There is something in you he wants to suppress. That's how you know.
That's what I heard a preacher say one time. It's like, a thief doesn't come into an empty home to steal things. Mm-hmm. He's not coming in to an empty house. He's coming in because you're valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You're a valuable person. You're valuable in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And it makes him madder than anything that God's people or people that he knows would be, you know, powerful in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him angry that they would succeed. He
doesn't
want them to succeed. He only comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes, there's a light that he can't snuff out,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to figure out how.
Yes.
And so we have to be so mindful of that. And he did it not just to us. We have to remember he did this to Jesus on earth in the desert as he was fasting and he wanted to really be tempted. He went out there, and when the devil told him, hey, turn these two stones to bread, do you think Jesus could not do that? Of course he could do it. He did it many times. He turned the fish and the bread into enough to feed thousands. So it's not that he couldn't do it. He could have done it.
Yes.
But he's not going to use his power for the devil's sake, and he wasn't going to break his fast. He was going to continue on this endeavor. Mm-hmm. And even though it's something that was very tempting to do, I'm sure. And then when the devil took him to the edge of the cliff and he said, I can give you all of this. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's basically saying, I'm in control of all of this. So at that time, you know, that was like the Roman Empire. That was, I mean, whether that's affiliated, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But obviously he had his hands in all of the upper crust of society at that point. And he was going to give him everything, power and control of all of that. But Christ's kingdom was not on this earth.
That's right.
It wasn't on this earth. And he knew that. And so he told him, get behind me, Satan. And it's just, it is an amazing thing to think about. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, he was telling him to jump off the cliff, and he was saying the angels would come to save him.
Yes.
And he said, don't test God. Yep. You know, that's not what we're not supposed to test them. It's not mm-hmm. about that. And there's a few other just really interesting parts. There's the part where, I believe it's in the garden right before he's about to be brought in for execution, or he's about to be imprisoned at that point, or brought in for trial. However you want to say it. I'm going to mm-hmm. cut that part out because I don't remember what I'm saying. But anyway, so there's a part where he's in the garden and they come for Jesus. And he's actually saying there are legions of angels. And if you equate the term legion to what a Roman legion was at the time, we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of powerful angels that were going to come, that could have come and save him. Yes. But he wanted this. He wanted to allow this to happen. And he wanted to make this sacrifice and to be finished and to have this done. And I think he wanted it done because he wanted it to be public.
Yes.
And enduring. And everybody would hear about it and talk about it.
Like, yeah, for still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think. I was actually reading a scripture this morning about the angels, you know, they listen to our call. Like if we, you know, pray to God, the angels are listening and then they take messages. And I do, you know, we don't talk about angels a lot, but of course, if we know God exists and of course the devil exists, we know angels exist.
Yeah.
And they do beckon to his call. So it's just interesting too that when he was being tempted by the devil, everything the devil threw at him, I would say one of the most important things to tell anyone is that he used God's word.
Mm-hmm.
He used scripture. Like mm-hmm. he used whatever he tempted him with, like the bread, turn the stones into bread. He said, men shall not live by bread alone. Mm-hmm. Just every little thing was taken out of the Bible and he said it to Satan. Of course, Satan knew it was in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus knew it was there, but he had to speak that word to make it have power, yeah. like we're talking about the power yes. of our words. And I just think when you're in situations like that, anything that pertains to like depression or fear or anything, just mm-hmm. find whatever scriptures. That's what I do. Find out what any scriptures I could possibly find on them. And I just say them every day. And sometimes I might not even feel like it, like, oh, is this working? But I'm still saying them every day. And mm-hmm. that's where it comes in to manifestation. And you're speaking God's word and mm-hmm. it will come to pass.
Yeah. And it always does. I mean, mm-hmm. if you really think about it, God has taken care of us and he will continue to take care of us.
He will.
And so we just have to kind of keep moving forward and focusing on our good and our positive.
Yep.
And focusing on the strength of God, because it'll keep coming.
Yes, it will.